Okay, so we're going to look at another passage from Mark this morning. We're looking at Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23, if people want to follow it in their Bibles. And I just want a quick recap of what you learnt last week, really, because the first half of chapter 7 links with the section I'm going to do today, and all this section is called Clean and Unclean. And last week, if you remember, those that were here, Jesus had been taken to task. He'd been chastised by the Pharisees about his disciples who had been eating food without going through the ceremonial washing of their hands. And it wasn't about the hygiene, but it was that they weren't obeying the traditional Jewish laws. That's what they were worried about, that they weren't doing what they were meant to do according to Jewish laws and traditions. And Jesus challenged them by calling them hypocrites because they were obeying the rules, really, without honouring the sentiment behind them, and they had let go of the commands of God, but they were holding on to the traditions of man. So that was all about really hygiene, and that was hanging on, but there was far more. And this next section is all about clean and unclean foods. We might say now kosher foods. And again, it's not just about that. It's far deeper. It's about people's hearts and souls and about their attitudes. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And so I'm going to read first Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Now, all the way through this, it's not just man, it's men and women. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Okay. So, the food laws. The food laws were embedded in Jewish culture, and they were given at a time when they were sensible, when they were travelling, when they didn't have modern refrigerators and they didn't have modern ways of keeping food. So some of these laws were actually quite sensible because it was for their health and safety that they were told to do that for a particular time. So they were precautions, really. But Jesus wasn't afraid to challenge those traditions and authority. And today you still have Jewish people who stick to these traditions about what they can and can't eat very, very rigidly. But we're just going to look at what Jesus is saying now and how this can impact us as non-Jews today in this world. So just like last week, the Jews were, they were obeying the rules without thinking. They just did it because that was what was expected of them. And they did it without really thinking about the rest of what God's laws and God's teachings, and in fact Jesus' teachings, were all about. They were just, it was part of their culture, part of their tradition, and they did it without thinking and putting it, making it important. And Jesus is actually challenging that. And actually, when you think about it, if you read the Ten Commandments, there's nowhere in the Ten Commandments about you shall not eat various things. It was all about a certain set of rules for a certain time after that. So here Jesus is very, very clear that nothing that we eat can make us unclean. Okay? It's what's inside us already. It's what's in our hearts and souls that is important. Okay? And we can't alter that by just eating a piece of pork or a piece of seafood or shellfish or whatever. Okay? So Jesus is clear here. He says, no foods are unclean. He actually says that. But it actually wasn't until after Jesus' death and resurrection that his followers really took this on board. And I want to just to remind you of that by reading a little bit about, reminding you about Peter's vision, which actually told the Jews in the early church of what was important. And so this is in Acts chapter 10. I'm not going to read the whole section or say the whole account, but I'm just going to read a little section. So this is 9 to 16. So this is Peter. So about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all things of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Okay, that goes on. That's a section in part of a whole story. And that is very specifically about clean and unclean food. But actually, when you go on later in that account, it's not only talking about clean and unclean food, it's also talking about impure and unclean people. And it's actually going on, and they explore that and saying that we're all equal. Nobody is any less loved by God because of their race or their status or their colour or their gender. Okay, we are all equal. None of us is unclean. And today we kind of mostly take that on board. But throughout history, there have been occasions when that was quite revolutionary. You know, even in kind of my early childhood, I can remember, you know, the laws against blacks in America, even the land of the free. And yet, you know, you still had the Negroes were segregated. They couldn't go to certain places. There was segregation. And so at certain times in history, that would have been really challenging and really revolutionary. And when we were in Nepal, we went to an international church, which was led by Pastor Rendell. And he can remember, and he told us he was from the south, and he can remember as a child going to the Baptist church with his family, and his father was an elder of the church, and they used to stand outside the church with guns to stop any black people going in. And that is so recent. It is such a part of our history. And, you know, we hope that that has been addressed now, but we know deep down that there are still great prejudice going on across the world. Okay. And it's sometimes hidden, or sometimes we choose to ignore it. I don't know where that came from. I wasn't going to speak about that, but anyway. Okay, so that was actually going on to develop the idea that not only are all foods pure and clean, but all people are pure and clean. Right, so God reiterated to Peter that he loves all people, just like Jesus demonstrated by meeting with, going into the house of, and eating with all different types of people. He met with Jews, and he met with Gentiles. He met with men, he met with women. He met with tax collectors and prostitutes, and the list goes on and on and on of people that he was talking to, that he was meeting with, that he was eating with. And, you know, this is great to look at this, and we can say, well, that's fine, but we don't have any food laws at the moment, and, you know, I eat what I want, and I don't think I'm prejudiced, etc., etc., and I think I live a pure life. But actually, when you think about it, and if we challenge ourselves, then I think this passage in Mark does challenge us about how we choose to live our lives and keep ourselves pure. And okay, nothing that we eat can affect our relationship with God. But we can control what we allow into our lives that will affect our hearts and that relationship with God. There are some, and I say some, situations in which we place ourselves that we know are not right or good for us. Now, we can control some of these. So we can control the books we choose to read, because we know that some of them are not pure, that they're salacious, or they're there to titillate. We can choose what pictures we look at when we look through magazines or newspapers, or what newspapers we buy. We can decide what TVs and films we want to watch. We can choose or not to choose to partake in gossip. We, to a certain extent, can choose the friends we have. And by friends, I don't mean friends as in Facebook style, but real friends that we trust and that we share our innermost thoughts with. We can choose those. And the relationships that we choose to cultivate, that is within our choice. And we can choose to align ourselves with people whose attitude we know to be wrong or not. So we don't have to choose to associate with people we know are outwardly racist or dishonest or who have prejudice, who are bullies. You know, we can choose, and there's a caveat to that, but we can choose whether we are in deep relationship with those people. Because, you know, it's very easy for us to become tainted by their attitudes and their behaviours. They're insidious and they can influence our behaviour and beliefs. Because basically we need to make sure that we seek to live in the light and not in the dark or even in the shadows. That is our choice. That is our choice. Now, the caveat is, I know it's difficult. And we can't. The danger is that we keep ourselves in a little pure holy huddle. And that is not right either. It is difficult to get that balance because we don't want to cut ourselves off from the world and from all its problems, because then we can't influence it. But it's that balance of how much we actually immerse ourselves in that. We've got to be very careful that we are taking everything back to God and everything back to Jesus. We can't control some of the people and the situations in our lives. But we must be careful not to take their philosophies and their beliefs into our hearts and souls. We do need to be that light shining into the dark places, just as Jesus was. So it is hard, and it's that balance, isn't it, between doing things that we know to be wrong and going into places where we know people need help and need enlightenment, and sharing that love of God with people. So I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not saying keep ourselves in a holy, pure huddle, but actually you need to be careful. And I thought there was quite a nice passage just to remind us about how we know the people that we should be associated with, and how the people know that we are different and that we have got different values. And that's in Matthew chapter 7. I'll just read part of it because there's a whole load more. And it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And this is the crux verse. "Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." So God will recognize us by our fruit. Okay, and that's something to hang on to. Jesus will know that we love him by the fruits of our lives, by the way that we live our lives.